Jamie Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Of course, a little bit of a country feel this week. Country Thunder in Craven as the campers starting to set up, get going. Hunter Brothers tomorrow. Jason Aldean, the Sunday finale with Def Leppard. And, of course, the Back 40 Bash for the Riders and the Stampeders at Mosaic Stadium with more on CFL Blue Jays. And whether or not I have lost my mind,
yep,
it's time for Daryl Davis.
A double take with Daryl Davis.
So you were listening to Truth or Trash Tuesday yesterday, Daryl?
Yes, Jamie. I listened to you guys all the time. Didn't you know that?
Sorry.
Okay. No, I enjoy it. I didn't follow you completely earlier, though, the segue. You lost me a little bit on that one, but most of the time I'm staying with you.
I tend to take some left turns every once in a while. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And sorry, it's Country Music Weekend. You're right. I should have asked for Dwight Yoakam or something. Scotty said, what do you want to hear? I said, hey, one of my greatest concerts in Saskatoon was Fleetwood Mac when the whole crew was there before they threw Lindsey Buckingham out of the band for being too good.
He was in and out.
Yeah.
Well, I think there was also some issues with that band.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. they were all inbreeding too much, I think, a little bit, right?
Yeah. They were sharing bedrooms.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, Truth or Trash Tuesday, we talked about to get a 10th team because clearly the Canadian market has no interest in actually doing anything about it. 10th team, that one team is in the United States. You're saying trash to that, Daryl?
Trash, Jamie. Where are you putting it, by the way? Anywhere?
He just wants a 10th team.
Okay. I followed those guys around. Sacramento, Vegas,
Birmingham,
Memphis,
Shreveport. Mad Dogs.
Almost died in Shreveport because it's so dangerous. Don't go to Shreveport, by the way. No, Jamie, nobody in the United States cares about the Canadian Football League. Yes, the rules are better. It's way more fun to watch. We think that in Canada, yes. But they don't care in the United States. They love the NFL. There's nothing wrong with the NFL in their minds. They have no interest in it. And if you were to put a CFL team in the United States, they would, in 2 years, they would be winning every Grey Cup because there's no longer a ratio. They can play All-American players like they did in 1995. And that's why the Baltimore Stallions made it to the Grey Cup in their 2 years of existence because they had better football players. It will throw everything out of whack.
Throw everything in whack. You wouldn't need so many bye weeks. The schedule maker wouldn't tick you off so often because you'd have an easier time making a schedule.
Well, let's dump Edmonton then.
So the
that's eight.
So would you rather have expansion to the States or get rid of a team?
Daryl's clipping a team. We actually had a conversation, and I thought this was kind of funny. Doing like the soccer thing where
the worst
team in the NFL comes to the CFL and the best team in the CFL goes to the NFL and you just do a switch every year. That was something that came up, but obviously
we don't want the Cleveland Browns in the Canadian Football League. You kidding me?
That's fun. Here's the thing.
Even a joke in the new Naked Gun movie with Liam Neeson he says, they're talking about it, and he says, well, she was a pretty good passer, but, you know, could have been a Bronco as long as it wasn't the Cleveland Browns. So they've got even a joke of that in a comedy show.
Is that
now.
In the trailer? Yep. Here's the thing that I think is going to happen, and I don't know if I articulated this well enough yesterday when we were having this conversation. I think that where sports as a whole is, and you look at how things are growing, hockey's growing, the NFL is growing. And listen, I realize CFL is growing slower than some of these other sports, but it is growing. I think you're going to see a growth in the CFL for a couple of reasons. And I think Stu's going to be a big part of that. And I think you're going to see interest from ownership to at least get something going in another market in Canada. And the market that came out quite a bit yesterday when we talked about it was the Okanagan, because you got that Kelowna, you got that Penticton, Kamloops, Vernon, right? That the Summerland area where there is a strong enough population to support it. And you know what? Listen, every time Jamie talked about this from the stadium perspective, he's like, oh, no one's going to want to spend $100 million. But I don't think you need to spend $100 million on a stadium to get a franchise going in the CFL. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah, a little bit. That's what's kept everybody from expanding. Halifax is the big deal all the time.
Couldn't you have a smaller stadium?
Yeah, but then building it, you're not drawing 10,000 fans isn't going to be enough, Walker. It's still, what, 65%? Yeah, you need 65% of your revenue coming from ticket sales in this league, and that wouldn't be big enough for them. You know, the owners want a franchise fee. They don't want to be subsidizing a brand new franchise either. So I can't see it. If that would be a good spot, the Okanagan Valley, sure, although it might be a little hot, right? Today it's 34 in Saskatchewan. It's like 44 probably in the valley there. Why not? Everybody's talking about London is one of the biggest CFL markets. Everybody says nobody cares about the CFL in Ontario. No, that's wrong. Watch the numbers. London and area, Andy Fantuz played there. It's Western's great football area. It's a big enough area, a big enough population, I believe, to try it. But once again, it all comes back to a stadium. We can talk all we want about how important it is to have them, how somebody might want to build a stadium, how somebody might not want to build a stadium, how they might want a franchise, until you get some city or province saying, we'll subsidize you, we'll help you out with the stadium, it's not going to be, there won't be any expansion into the United States or Canada.
Darrell Davis, it's a double take here on the Green Zone. Coming up, we're going to get into week six a little bit with the Riders taking on the Calgary Stampeders, some Blue Jays baseball, and I don't know how old Nick Tarnaski is, but maybe Darrell Davis had to break up a fight with Nick Tarnaski back in the day. Well,
Bud.
Maybe.
Bud.
What was he doing? He was saying
bang, 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 bang.
I think that's going to get him in trouble.
He looked big.
Yeah.
He looked a lot bigger than that guy.
The other guy looked hammered. But should
that
Nick
other guy
Tarnaski,
was about your size.
Yeah. Should Nick Tarnaski be out of a AAA U-17 head coaching job in the Red Deer area? That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with Darrell Davis here on the Green Zone with a double take with the Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter, Darrell Davis. So let's get to Rider Stamps Friday. I know you'll give your score prediction on the Green Zone on Friday night.
Yeah.
Probably. Where's the lean for Darrell Davis on this?
The Rough Riders are the best team in the league at the moment, right? So especially if Trevor Harris is playing quarterback, they're a solid team. They've got all three facets of the game. So I think that they should win. Calgary is like their quarterback, up and down, right? Vernon Adams could be the best quarterback in the league and the worst quarterback in the league, and that can go from half to half sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So I think the Rough Riders are certainly capable of making him have a bad game. He's certainly capable of having a good game, but I think the Rough Riders are just solid all the way across. And, Jamie, we've talked about it quite a bit, and Locker on the Green Zone quite a bit, that they're more mature. Not that they were an immature team last year. They were very mature for a first-year group, but their coaches have learned so much.
Yeah.
And I'm watching them on the sidelines, and they're not panicking. They're thinking ahead the way they weren't capable of last year or were just learning how to last year. And this year you see them, they know what they're doing.
There's a calmness to it, right?
There really is, Locker, yes.
Even in practice, I've kind of noticed that. And you had mentioned that to me, that the practice is way less chaotic now, right? Because I think I brought that up. It just seems like everything flows really nicely when we go, right?
I agree.
Well, everybody knows what the expectation is, but there hasn't been a moment yet. Like last year, there was a few times where there's a situational thing, and it took Corey a while. Sometimes he'd have to call a timeout to go, okay, what's the play here? Or it's a late substitution. Yeah. Oh, no, you go. Let's do this. Now it's like, no, they almost know what they're going to do. Well, like Wally Buono,
yes,
he knew the three scenarios. It's either going to be A, B, or C, and it's A. Okay, go. And he knows it before the play even ends.
And that's what, you know, not that we knock Corey Mace. He's learning it, but he's gotten better at it. They've admitted it. He and Mark Mueller spent the offseason in classes together, kind of working on those things. And Kent Najeri, their special teams coach, here's our scenarios. What are we going to do in these situations? And now they're really well prepared for it, especially they had trouble just before halftime a lot last year, too.
So close, though.
Yeah.
You think?
No. Not especially.
Ooh, okay.
Now I can't wait
for his score prediction on Friday.
All right. I'm sort of leaning to a close one.
I got a 2-point game. I got a Brett Lawther game-winning field goal.
Well, Well, Calgary's got a great defense. We all talk about Vernon Adams, but they've allowed what?
Well, they can run the ball too.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, Dedrick Mills is running really well, and they've only allowed like 21 points per game. It's the best in the CFL, so they're certainly capable of shutting down the Rough Riders.
Yeah. All right, Daryl, I know you're a Brewer fan.
Yeah, and they beat the Dodgers again today. Thanks for that reminder. Knocking off the Dodgers is one of the great feelings in baseball, right?
But are you catching Blue Jay fever at all?
Yeah, I'm starting to watch it again, right? Just like all of Canada. I heard your story about how just everybody knows how they're doing. It's the only major league team we have in Canada, obviously. And if they're playing well, you can watch them almost every day unless you if you have Apple. I hear a lot of complaints about the games that disappear on Sportsnet.
Is it this week or was it last week that was
last
on
week.
Apple?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And there were some fans who were upset about that, especially that was during their winning streak, right? So they're a long ways away from what's the major league record, 26 in a row for most straight wins. So, and I think 22 is the most in the American
A's?
League. That's like the 1926 New York Giants or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're going way back.
But
okay.
Cleveland, I think, in 2017 won 22 in a row. So. So that's the American League record.
Okay. So. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So Blue Jays baseball.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. And, you know, they've changed base. And you know what? Have you noticed? They're not always just swinging for fences. Once in a while, they're hitting and running. Once in a while, he's bunting the ball. So Snyder's become a better manager by playing a little bit of small ball. They've got a team that's capable of doing that.
Well,
they're doing it without Dalton Varsho, who's a pretty good center fielder and was one of their hottest players.
And you're getting a lot of contribution from player, like everybody, right?
Yes,
There is a conversation as well about the fact that this team is really connecting, that they're tighter, that they're a more cohesive unit, and that pays dividends, right?
It's Vladdy's team, though. They signed him, and he's a bit of a showboat, but because of who he is, and he's playing well, right? So he's batting the way they expect him to.
But he's playing well, but he's not playing off the charts.
Nope.
So other guys are stepping up, like Springer's having.
Oh gosh, yeah. Like, how about Alejandro Kirk is back to where he played 2 years ago, right?
My boy.
Yeah. Well, we all like him because he runs like us, right?
Yeah. Now he runs a little quicker than us. Daryl, let's go to the final story we got for you. Nick Tarnaski. He is a former NHLer. He was dealing with some drunk golfers who were playing really slow, and someone in his group says, "You guys can't even tee up your ball." They might have been right because those two guys were clearly inebriated. He tuned them in, got five punches in.
There's a police investigation.
There's now a police investigation, and he's the head coach of the U-17 AAA Red Deer team in hockey. Red Deer Minor Hockey is doing their own investigation. Should he be disciplined, especially on the minor hockey side of because of this video?
To discipline him, no. It's everywhere you go, there's cameras, right? If he had done this 15, 20 years ago, nobody would know that he did. Oh, yeah, he beat up a guy. Okay, let's move on, right? But now there it is, becoming viral, and you say, oh, you got to discipline this guy. I don't know. The guy kept coming after him, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Tarnaski did it a little too much. I never did break him up out of a fight, by the way. He's probably too big to deal with. But, he was kind of goaded into it. I don't have a real issue. Maybe he overdid it a little bit, and he should say, you know what, that's too much. But
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I think so too. If you know, I just golfed twice on the weekend, and we let people play through. What's the big deal?
Why are you playing so slow?
We were in a foursome, and there were two twosomes behind us.
Oh,
so we let them go through, and you know what? One of them was playing music, so maybe we should have beaten them up.
Don't play tunes on the golf course around Daryl Davis, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh huh.
I don't care either way.
I'm out there for the solitude. I love the sound of the birds and the deer running through the trees, man.
And me cursing.
Yeah, don't play me emo music.
Emo.
Yeah, and Jamie cursing. Yeah, Jamie can't swear in the air, but he does when he's out on the golf course, Locker.
I actually swear a lot less than I used to.
That tracks.
I stopped caring.
Yeah, he knows. That's why we got a dump button in here still.
Yeah, yeah. That was Belton that I had to hit the dump button on.
We never had to do it on
the other day. I had to ride, like, I was reaching for it. You were going off about something.
That's that American franchise stuff. Yeah. Jamie, you're wrong, okay? Let's move on.
All right, Daryl. See you at 5 o'clock on Friday the Green Zone pregame show.
See you guys.
Thanks, Daryl.
The Riders and the Stamps. Jamie and Locker with you in the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon. Country Thunder getting going. Of course, the campers getting set up tomorrow night. Music begins on the stage. Hunter Brothers are the main stage.
I have a question for you, Locker.
Yeah.
Sorry to throw this at you with no prep whatsoever.
I'll recover.
What? I know you're a music fan. You like going to live music. What venue do you prefer to watch live music?
Small club. Acoustic.
Acoustic in a small club.
Yeah.
I was going to like a smaller outdoor festival.
No, like not outdoors.
Ness Creek. Not outdoors.
No.
So not even like a big outdoor, like Country Thunder, big outdoor music.
What was the big Tragically Hip concert?
Another Roadside Attraction.
Another Roadside Attraction. I went to those, and I enjoyed those, the Midnight Oil one. I went to Lollapalooza back in 92. I've been to some really cool outdoor shows, and I don't hate them. But if you're giving me a, like, if you're saying it, pick your poison, Jason Isbell is in town tonight.
You want to go see Poison at a small club?
No, no. If you're saying pick your poison, I'm going to pick something that is a little bit more intimate. And, yeah, I've always appreciated those scaled down musically, like separated sounds, right? A couple of guitars. Yeah, that's my
I like
my
a jam. More intermittent, a more laid back outdoor festival. Like the big ones can get a little greasy, right? Like
yeah.
I went to the SAR show in Toronto. They're fun, but it's just.
That was Stones, right?
Well, it was Stones. It was AC/DC. It was guess who? Rush. Justin Timberlake was there.
Oh, yeah.
The Flaming Lips were there. Sam Roberts. It was a whole day event. Then there's the bigger, but and just like a quieter jazz fest in Saskatoon, the old folk fest that unfortunately doesn't run in Regina. Though those types of ones,
the folk
fest, that was more my vibe.
The folk fest, I would hit that in Edmonton because it sort of creeped into other genres. It wasn't all like the hippies on the hill kind of thing, and I enjoyed the folk fest in Edmonton for outdoor stuff. But I mean, if I'm picking something and I get a choice, smaller scale, down, less people.
The folk fest in Edmonton sucked, by the way.
You didn't like it?
No, we called it Tarp Fest because the Regina Folk Fest, they open the doors at 5 p.m. for the main acts, and you go and set up. In Edmonton, you set up your tarp at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then...
So all the locals get the best seats.
They go there, and then there's one year there was a good act that we wanted to see early, and we couldn't... Nobody was there because they didn't know who they were, but we did. And there was like no place to watch it. Nobody was there on their tarps that they all pinned down 7 hours ago. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's not the way to do it. Anyways, enjoy your outdoor festivals. There's a lot of them going on as Country Thunder starts.
Those are fun. Those are tomorrow. A fun weekend, especially if you can get take the camper out and get set up and you know.
Yeah. It's like a mini family out there. A lot of people have been going for it decades out at Craven. But, of course, the country theme going on at Mosaic Stadium. The Back 40 Bash with the Stamps and the Riders. Our CFL analyst, Dave Naylor, here on the Green Zone. But we wanted to start off talking about the Toure suspension as Kamoko Toure, the only guy suspended from that brawl between the BC Lions and the Montreal Alouettes, and asked Dave if he was surprised he was the only one to get suspended.
I am, because it just, like, it was the kind of graphic that, and I don't want to besmirch another sport, but it looked like a hockey brawl, right? It looked like one of those viral tapes that comes out from, you know, a junior C game in Manitoba or something like that, that, you know, somebody's got a phone and all, and it's just not a good look for the league. Now, I guess when they dug into it, you know, they ultimately determined that, you know, that the players were, that one was retaliating and one had instigated. I mean, that's usually the determining factor in those cases, so... You know, football suspensions, though, I think sometimes you got to remember, a suspension in football is a big, big deal because you only play 18 games. And I see this conversation all the time. People are like, oh, give them a game, give them two. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not hockey, which is now, what, playing 84, they just announced the other day. So I think there is a hesitancy to suspend in football still, especially for, you know, when it's like it's a melee like that. So I'm surprised that I'm not, but I think the bar for suspension, actually sitting players down, taking paychecks away, forcing coaches to find other guys, is, again, higher than people kind of give it credit for.
I'm curious, do you have an explanation on what was going on with Trey Ford
He's in there. He's playing well. And then here comes Cody Fajardo for a series. He gets a first down and then a punt. And then Trey Ford's playing well. And then late in the third quarter, okay, Cody Fajardo going there. And it's a two and out. What are we doing here when it came to Mark Killam's rotation of quarterbacks in that win over Ottawa?
Yeah, you may have noticed neither our broadcast team in the stadium nor the folks back in studio were big fans of this move. And it was curious. I think it's especially curious because the whole narrative of the Trey Ford experience in the CFL has been, okay, we're going to give you some rope. Nope, you're coming out. You know, you're not starting next game. And the whole premise of this year was, hey, we're going to give him that leash. We're going to live with some of the bumps. And, you know, when I talked to Jordan McSimmick, their offensive coordinator, about 2 weeks ago, you know, he kind of said, hey, the standard for Trey is just keep improving. Like, they don't need him to be perfect, but if he's better 1 week to the next, to the next, to the next, you know, he's going to hold on to his job. And that was why it was so strange, because it's in that context. Now, here's the explanation, as I got it from the outs today, is basically – they don't want to be in a situation where if something happens to Trey Ford, that Cody Fajardo hasn't played since last November. So they want to get him some live reps, which, again, makes sense. They also believe that by pulling Trey out for a series, a half or so, or whatever they did, that he can learn in-game on the fly from witnessing things from the sideline. So for them, there's sort of two purposes there. It also, I'll throw in a third, you know, it does kind of plant in the seed of the opposition that, well, you might see both guys, you know, and you got to kind of prepare for different packages and different things that Cody Fajardo might do the Trey Ford role. So there's, in theory, there's three reasons for it. I just think it's really curious, given the interrupted development of Trey Ford and the commitment to let that development kind of run this year. Now, all that said, I think the Elks have to be delighted with how Trey Ford has improved from week one, two, three, to right up to today. I mean, I think every game he's been better. And I think it's interesting that as his pocket passing and, you know, making the necessary simple plays has gotten better, his tendency to rush has gone down. He's not only, you know, not escaping the pocket as quickly as he used to, kind of, you know, little happy feet and getting out of the pocket before he should, but they're just not using him as a runner, which I find that curious because that's an elite skill set, but maybe it's just in order to make him evolve as a pocket passer, you got to kind of take that away from him a little bit. So that's the other part of his development that's been curious, but it's nice to see that Trey Ford seems to have arrived as, you know, at the very least, a serviceable starting quarterback in the CFL. And of course, we won't know his ceiling for much longer. That's the whole purpose of this way the Elks are doing this, is to try to tap that ceiling. But it did certainly have, you know, a few people, including me, scratching my head on Sunday.
Dave, we had Darren Bombing on recently to have a conversation about the Bombers lost last week to Calgary. Calgary is a surprise this year for everyone. No one had them 3-1 coming into the Riders and a battle of the best of the West. Now, he kind of dodged the should the Winnipeg Blue Bombers be concerned question. I'll throw it at you.
No, I don't think so. And again, I think they looked, you know, this is not an old team. A lot of the guys that were kind of getting on and long in the tooth have moved on. They still got some age on the roster. And you look at the way they played the first few weeks. The one thing is kind of odd is that the Bombers, the last few seasons, have had that game where they just get thumped. And for, you know, the early part of this 5-year run, it was like Winnipeg, they always gave you their A game. You know, you never, ever saw a game where they just didn't look like themselves. But we've seen that in each of the last few years. And it's interesting, when I think about those games, they usually involve the BC Lions. And the BC Lions were quarterbacked by Vernon Adams, you know, who, of course, is now in Calgary and led the beatdown on them, you know, right out of the gate the other night. So, you know, if the Bombers have a problem, it might be a Vernon Adams Jr. problem, because he seems to have some kind of kryptonite effect on them. That was just one of those games that I say, we've seen a couple of them like that in the last few years where they just, it's kind of an anomalous game on their schedule. So, no, I would not be deeply concerned if I was the Bombers. I mean, the fact they didn't run the ball very well, I guess, was the part that surprised me. And maybe we just are reminded how important Brady Oliveira and the run game is to that offense, because he had, what, 61 yards or something like that in that game, 13 for 61, averaged less than 5 yards of carry. And that definitely does change the dynamic. Some of that was the game script with Calgary getting up early, but the Bombers, like most teams, are better when they're balanced, and that was a good example of it on the weekend.
Dave, I'm going to go to Ottawa. I've been pondering this the last couple of weeks. seeing Rick Campbell standing on the sidelines next to Bob Dice.
Yep.
How hot is the seat for Bob Dice if the wins don't start coming here now that Drew Brown is healthy?
Yeah, I think this could get hot, pretty hot in the next couple of weeks. And it's one of those things, guys, when, I mean, here's the dynamic. Rick Campbell hired Bob Dice to be on that staff in Ottawa. Bob Dice is the common link back to, like, the Grey Cup season, you know, of whatever that was, 2018. Like, he's been on the staff the entire time. And of course, he hires Rick Campbell to be, you know, his special teams coordinator. So, you know, one of the questions would be, well, like, why would you do that, right? Because you're now putting the next coach on your staff. I guess the rationale would be this. The only thing that really is going to guarantee Bob Dice's job, that he keeps his job, is if they win. And if he thinks they have a better staff with Rick Campbell, then that's going to improve their chances of winning, which by, you know, automatically, you know, helps his chances of keeping his job. If he hired somebody who wasn't as good a coach as Rick Campbell to coach special teams, potentially the team's not as good, and then he gets fired. So I think it shows that he is confident and understands the dynamic here, that it is about winning. But Ottawa's a team where and this is where coaches get fired, guys. You know this. It's not when you lose the coaches get fired. It's when you lose against the backdrop of expectations. And last year in Ottawa, that team took a leap forward. You know, look, hey, hands up here. My preseason Grey Cup prediction is Saskatchewan and Ottawa. Looking good on one out of two. But two things, I think the other thing about Ottawa that would, you know, I think contribute to this conversation is I don't think that's a bad roster. Now, they got a ton of injuries and a ton of Canadian injuries, and every team with a losing record in CFL history always cites injuries. But they are the extreme case when you look at it. They're getting some guys back this week. They lost a couple more. But it's not. I don't think that's a roster that's devoid of talent. So, you know, they got a real important stretch right here. They got back-to-back against Hamilton. Then they got Calgary visiting at Ottawa. And then they've got at Toronto. So that's four winnable games, unless you think the Stamps are like real Grey Cup contenders. But back-to-back Hamilton, Calgary, Toronto. I think this next four games is going to go a long way to dictating, you know, what happens in Ottawa.
And, of course, the game of the week, can't wait for Friday Night Football. It is the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders. Dave, always appreciate your time, and we will chat again next week.
Hey, it should be a great scene, and I'm looking forward to that one as well, guys.
That is Dave Naylor, our CFL analyst here on the Green Zone, as we will get to Champs and Chumps next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners. Big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump here on the Green Zone. Our chump is coming from producer Scott, also a big-time jersey and logo snob, okay? So he is chumping the Carolina Hurricanes for their retro hats and logo that came out today. It is a C.
It's not a good logo.
With an H in the middle. Think about it. C with an H in the middle. Where have we seen that? Oh, yeah, it's the Montreal Canadiens logo.
It does. Like, if you like, just showed
you
me, if
You're
you
the
just
same
showed
league.
Me that logo and said what team, I would go, oh, yeah, that's the Canadiens, like Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, if you saw that hat, you're like, that's a Montreal Canadiens hat, a Carolina Hurricanes hat.
If I was in the airport and I was walking by some bloke that had that hat on, I'd go, hey, Habs fan, right there.
Meanwhile, our champ goes to Leon Draisaitl. Leon Draisaitl went back to Germany, donating 58 sets of equipment, 29 for each of the next two seasons to support a youth team in his hometown of Cologne, Germany.
That's a good, great little video.
The look on his face watching the kids, like,
it's really cool.
He was just taking
beaming.
It in.
Beaming,
on being back at home in Cologne, Germany.
Interesting hearing him speak German, because his English is really strong, right? But then when he speaks German, you're like, that's right, he's from Germany, right?
And yeah. He'll be wearing the German colors, of course, at the Olympics in Italy
next year.